Chunky Milk Chocolate presents the Chunky Theater of the Year.
Chunky! And now, something a little different for a longtime public radio broadcaster like me. Commercials. Nothing but commercials.
C-H-U-N-K-Y, Chunky.
The radio stations that carried Yiddish language broadcasts in the 1930s and 1940s devoted a lot of time to advertising. That's how they paid the bills.
For that old-fashioned flavor that all the folks favor, try Hebrew National Meats.
This holiday, buy gefilte fish in gleaming glass jars.
Delicately light, always right.
Cheese blintzes, apple, cherry, blueberry, and strawberry. Dumplings and potato latkes, too.
Sometimes inspired, sometimes inept. Commercials made for many of the more memorable moments on Yiddish radio, as we learn in this whirlwind tour from Henry Sapoznik.
Long and I'll sing it.
And now a word from our sponsor, the seven most hated words in the history of broadcasting. But quirky commercials from little neighborhood stores were the lifeblood of Yiddish radio. And just like archaeologists, when they want to learn about the lives of common people, they're not going to find out about it by excavating palaces or temples. They're going to go to the poor part of town and dig up garbage dumps. And in essence, that's what these commercials do for us. They tell us about where people were eating.
In Falkley Cafeteria.
In Falkley Cafeteria.
What they were eating.
Schmaltz herring. Homemade pickled herring. Herring fillet in wine sauce. Pickles. Sauerkraut. Frame. Applesauce.
What they were drinking.
Shapiro's kosher wine.
Shapiro's wine. Shapiro's wine. In place of meat. In
They tell us about the products people were using around the house.
Brillo kosher soap. The Star of David is worked right through the soap. It never disappears. Brillo kosher soap.
These commercials tell us about what people were wearing.
Old man Adder is the man to see when you want to be taller than she.
Because old man Adder does a lot for you.
Confidentially with his elevator, 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 elevator shoe.
Even their wacky ideas, like advertisements on radio station WEVD for something called home diathermy.
Call now. Yes, immediately.
People would sit for hours and hours in front of some specially rigged radio, soaking up its waves. It was supposed to cure everything.
Painful arthritis, or neuritis, bursitis, neuralgia, lumbago, sciatica, sinus trouble, rheumatism, tonsillitis, laryngitis, bronchitis, cystitis, prostatitis, bronchial asthma, or pleurisy. I thank you.
Der Telefon von der Moskowitz und Lupowitz kosher Restaurant ist Aragon 4, 03.
But that voice is perhaps the most infamous in the history of Yiddish radio. Mitchell Levitsky, the advertising king, endowed with a sense of phrasing, pacing, and delivery which may be unique in the history of American broadcasting. Every word was a new challenge for Mitchell Levitsky. Listen.
How is your imagination? Picture a pear. It will taste as good as it looks. Simply wonderful. S&W. Pears at all fine groceries and supermarkets.
Levitsky was a brilliant ad salesman with a less than brilliant on-air presence. When he spoke English, it sounded like Yiddish was his first language. And when he spoke Yiddish, it sounded like English was his first language.
I had blouses and play clothes, dip and dry. Dip and drive.
Levitsky came to WEVD in the early 1940s. Unlike other on-air personalities who were actors or writers or poets, Levitsky's skill was selling advertising, which he was then allowed to read on the air.
This is a thought that usually gets pushed aside by the thought of the fuss and bother and time that goes into good stuffed cabbage.
Levitsky was so good at snaring little neighborhood businesses that he became one of the most ubiquitous voices in Yiddish radio. This is Jerry Stiller as Mitchell Levitsky in an ad for the Crown Hotel.
Dear friends, you're now listening to the Crown Hotel program. The hotel which was recently built, recently refurbished. Here you will find rooms with private baths and carpets and wall-to-wall telephones in every room, strictly kosher, and synagogue and a rabbi and cantor in residence, newly remodeled lobby.
He was unstoppable in terms of tracking down advertisers. I mean, if there was a local store that he set his sights on, they were going to advertise on WEVD whether they liked it or not. You know, Levitsky comes back, I got him, waving the papers, you know, with the contract for 2 weeks of ads from Portnoy's trusses.
And now, good news from Portnoy.
Are you herniated?
Go to Portnoy.
Go to Portnoy. See Portnoy and stop worrying from a rupture. Portnoy, new patented Wonder Truss, ends hernia trouble and eases your discomfort. Hear what a long-time sufferer has said. I've suffered from a rupture for 15 years, but now, thanks to Portnoy's, my hernia worries are over. Portnoy's is New York's largest truss store. Take my advice, go to Portnoy and stop your suffering from rupture. Portnoy, 53 Delancey Street, Delancey, corner Eldridge Street, New York.
Corner Eldridge Street, New York.
Go now to Portnoy. Remember, Portnoy.
If Mitchell Levitsky was the most famous advertising voice on Yiddish radio, then the most famous commercial by far was a little jingle written for a low-rent clothing store named Joe and Paul. Joe and Paul was opened in 1912 by a man named Paul Kovsky. There never actually was a Joe. Apparently, someone had told Kovsky that people would trust him more if they thought he had a partner. In the 1930s, Paul Kovsky asked composer Sholem Secunda, the man who wrote by Amir Bistashain, to write a jingle for his store. Secunda played the piano and Paul sang it himself. This is the first time that this commercial has been broadcast in more than half a century.
Joe and Paul, a store of far kriegen, brabrilla Joe and Paul, that wet your bully kriegen, brabrilla suit, a coat, a geeten, zolle, perfect, a fit and daft here, kuiven, nor by Joe and Paul.
Joe and Paul, a store of pleasure. Joe and Paul, you'll find a bargain there. A suit, a coat, everything's perfect. I tell you, you have to shop at Joe and Paul. And that was it. Short, to the point, and permanently implanted in the consciousness of listeners to Yiddish radio who heard the jingle again and again and again. One of these listeners was a young comedian named Aaron Schwat, later known as Red Buttons.
Well, we used to hang around the cafeterias in the 30s. It was Kellogg's Cafeteria on 49th Street. It was a cafeteria for the small-time guys. So we'd sit around the table, Jewish kids, we were first-generation Americans, and we fell in love with Joe and Paul's Fagenegen. Number one, it was funny. Number two, it was musical. You know, and it was catchy. It was a very, very catchy refrain. Joe, Paul, the fuck. I mean, there was something about it that had a little chain, you know, had a little heart to it. So we used to tap it off on the tables, you know. And I just started to play around with it, and it caught on immediately.
Red Buttons had worked up a parody of the Joe and Paul commercial and Yiddish radio in general, which he took up with him to the Jewish resorts in the Catskills. His audience loved it. But it was wartime. When Buttons got called up into the service, a young vaudeville duo named the Barton Brothers appropriated his skit and then recorded it for the fledgling Apollo label.
Hey, Bob.
Eddie Barton is the surviving Barton brother.
We recorded it, and we got $250, and we ran out of town. We thought we stole $250.
I send me sister.
The song, however, became a hit. A big, big, big hit.
We're out of town about 5 or 6 months, and I get a call from the agent. He says, listen, what are you doing out of town? He says, we've sold about 750,000 records. I said, you've sold 750,000 of what records? He says, the records you made. Joe and Paul, a pleasure. Joe and Paul, you can find a bargain. Bring in your young son.
Speech.
And then you would hear my brother talk. Good morning, dear radio listeners, to the Joe and Paul clothing stores. If you have a bar mitzvah boy who needs a slack suit, a two-tone, a reversible slicker, a herringbone, a Miami Chervet, a Bronx Sharpie, a Brooklyn Droop, bring them in. We played Carnegie Hall. We were at Madison Square Garden with 40,000 people sitting out in the audience, and we got a standing ovation. We killed it. They got such a big kick out of it.
God, speech.
Mothers, do you have a young boy about 14, 15 years old who likes to go to burlesque shows? He's already buying French postcards. He comes home, he goes in the bathroom, he closes the door behind him, and you hear... Mothers, do yourself a favor, do him a favor. Give that boy a couple of bucks and send him to Cockeye Jenny. And if you don't know where it is, ask your husband. He's been a satisfied customer for years.
And that's Commercials on Yiddish Radio. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program.
That's all.